Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, September 20th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Community Backs Travis Milam. MISD, Three Reach Network Campuses Not Meeting Goals, by Stuart Doreen. More than 20 people came out to speak up for Midland ISD schools that operate under 1882 partnership agreements. Some spoke for the expansion of Idea Travis Elementary School, and others against the possible closing of Ben Milam Academy. Idea Travis is a campus in southeast Midland that at one time, before Idea Public Schools' partnership with Midland ISD, had one of the longest failing streaks in the state. District officials reported this year that Travis students had improved its TEA grade by 38 points and improved from an F to a B grade. IDEA officials are seeking expansion of the school from 9th to 12th grades. Ben Milam International, located in District 1, is one of three campuses operating as part of the REACH network that all came up before the Midland ISD board. Goddard Junior High and Bunch Elementary are the others. In each agenda item, the term of the agreement is for 5 years, expiring on June 30, 2024. But each also allows Midland ISD to, quote, terminate the agreement early if the academic goals of the campus are not met for three consecutive years, unquote. In each case, Midland ISD states the respective campuses, quote, has failed to meet all of its academic goals outlined in the agreement for the last three school years. Accordingly, the district has the option to move forward with termination, unquote. The first step in the termination process is notification, according to MISD. Following the notice of termination, the board is required to hold a public hearing, MISD reported in agenda documents. The board must wait 60 days after the public hearing to take any final action to terminate the agreement. If the board takes final action to terminate the agreement during this school year, the effective date of termination will be June 30, 2023. Parents and officials spoke about Milam's dual language program and its benefit to students. REACH network officials spoke about the lack of notice about its three campuses not meeting goals. Parents and officials questioned Midland ISD officials about the data the district was using to make its decision to bring up a possible closure. Board members had not come out of executive session to decide on either issue as of press time. Senate Bill 1882, signed into effect by the Texas legislature in 2017, provides incentives for districts to contract to partner with an open enrollment charter school, institutions of higher education, nonprofits, or government entities, according to the Texas Education Agency. MISD also has 1882 agreements with IDEA Public Schools, Third Future Schools, and Young Women's Preparatory Network. This article is entitled, ECHS Earns National Blue Ribbon School Honor. Garden City Elementary School also earns award, by Stuart Doreen. Early College High School at Midland College has been named a National Blue Ribbon School by the U.S. Department of Education. This distinction marks ECHS at MC as a model of effective school practices for state and district educators and other schools throughout the U.S., according to a press release from Midland ISD. Also honored with a Blue Ribbon School's program honor was Garden City Elementary School in Garden City. The Education Department recognizes all schools in one of two performance categories based on student scores, subgroup student scores, and graduation rates. Exemplary high-performing schools are among their state's highest-performing schools as measured by state assessments or nationally normed tests. Exemplary achievement gap-closing schools are among their state's highest-performing schools in closing achievement gaps between a school's student groups and all students. Early College High School was picked as an exemplary high-performing school. I am incredibly proud of the staff and students of Early College High School at Midland College, said Brian Murray, MISD Board President. The National Blue Ribbon designation demonstrates that others across this state and nation are taking notice of the outstanding things happening in Midland ISD schools. Garden City Elementary School was also picked as an exemplary high-performing school. Up to 420 schools may be nominated each year. 31 schools from Texas were awarded for its outcomes in either performance categories. Other Texas schools listed as exemplary high-performing schools included All Saints Catholic School in Dallas, Devers Elementary School in Devers, East Elementary School in Brownwood, Grand Prairie Collegiate Institute, Groover Elementary School in Groover, Groover Junior High School, Happy High School, Jesuit College Preparatory School in Dallas, Kerr High School Nursery Elementary School, St. Anne Catholic School, St. Cecilia Catholic School, St. John the Apostle Catholic School in North Richland Hills, Talented and Gifted in Dallas, School of Science and Engineering in Dallas, and Vega Elementary School in Vega. This appears to be the first time that the National Blue Ribbon Schools program honored a school in Midland. Being recognized as a National Blue Ribbon School is a great honor, ECHS at MC Chancellor Renee Aldrin said in a press release. Our scholars are very hardworking and have a collegiate mindset. And I can't say enough about our teachers, who are all dedicated to helping each individual student achieve their goals by mastering challenging and engaging content. ECHS at MC focuses on college readiness, and each student has the opportunity to graduate with an associate degree from Midland College. Our motto is "Rising above, going beyond, and conquering all," Aldrin said. Each of our scholars has a story. They do not allow circumstances to control them, and they are always striving to become better. As our scholars develop into leaders, they continuously do more than what is expected or required to achieve their goals, and ultimately gain more than ever expected. ECHS at MC operates in partnership with Midland College and is housed on MC campus. The designation of Early College High School at Midland College as a National Blue Ribbon School is not only a huge honor, but also a testament to the hard work that students and teachers achieve on a daily basis, said Steve Thomas, Midland College president. Faculty, staff, students, parents, and the Midland community work together to create the ECHS at MC environment that fosters student achievement and success. I am proud to see our dedication and commitment to learning be recognized. This year marks the 39th National Blue Ribbon Schools cohort. The program has given more than 10,000 awards to 9,000 schools in its history. This column is called Biz Buzz. It is entitled, "Man and Calicoat Use Experience to Build Advertising Agency." Business Style equips company for online working, flexible schedules for employees. By Ben Schaffer. Christy Calicoat and Brittany Mann have used their combined 35 years of experience in advertising and finance to create Current Media Partners, a Midland advertising agency. The agency, founded in 2019, collaborates with businesses in Midland, West Texas, and beyond to form media strategies that will make their clients successful. Their experience in national firms has provided them with the knowledge and skills to own their own agency as they establish themselves in West Texas. Next year will be 30 years that I've been in the industry, Calicote said. I worked for ad agencies in San Antonio and in Midland, Odessa, before doing this for some national brands. Her decades of experience equipped Calicote with an understanding of public relations, advertising and marketing, and existing client relationships. Mann was the director of the digital department at her last firm before co-founding Current Media Partners. I definitely bring more of the digital experience to the table. Everything from social media to programmatic ads, Google ads, websites, kind of anything within the digital realm, she said. According to Mann, she loves to get ahead of the ever-changing digital landscape and provide her clients with the best tools to market their business and services online. She claimed she, quote, came of age, unquote, with digital advertising during her career before co-founding Current Media. Before entering marketing, Mann was the director of development for the Red Cross and Crisis Center of West Texas. I'm very well versed in financials, in budgeting, and a lot of things that go into operating the day-to-day of a business, she said. Calicote and Mann both grew up in West Texas before leaving to work for national brands. I left, went to school, and then I started in San Antonio, Calicote said. The first agency I worked with was the Corona and Shiner beer brands and kind of got my feet wet there. For Calicote, returning to West Texas was not on the radar when she was beginning her career in advertising. After I was back here a couple of years in this industry, I learned very quickly that I think the relationships you can build up here are stronger than some of the bigger markets, she said. She said she and Mann are able to get to know people quickly and more intimately than other areas in Texas. Coming back to Midland allowed her to become more rooted in the community. There are also advantages to working at a small ad agency as opposed to a national brand. In a lot of bigger markets, if you're working for a giant agency, you may only get to work on one or two accounts, Mann said. The relatively smaller market size in West Texas allows for Current Media to diversify their client base. Everybody talks about oil and gas, but it's not just oil and gas. There's so many things that come in and around that. So we've been very fortunate to diversify our business. While we do have oil and gas, we have a lot of other businesses. This community's been so good to us, Calicote said. We get to intimately know the business and the industry of our clients. It's even just expanded my knowledge. I understand things about oil and gas and healthcare and economic development, and just things I never would have known about, Mann added. Current Media works with clients in West Texas as well as New Mexico and other regions. One of their clients is Delek US, the parent company of Alon Gas Stations, according to Calicote. We're working now in, I believe, 5 states for them, she said. Another client based in West Texas and southeast New Mexico is XTO Energy, Inc. Most of their healthcare clients are in West Texas, reaching from the San Angelo area. Mann has worked with banking industry clients as well. Being first established in 2019, the agency's first year of business was during the unforeseen COVID-19 pandemic. The early shaping of their business style because of the pandemic made Current Media better equipped for practices like online working and flexible schedules for employees. It actually worked to our advantage, I think. A lot of people looked at how they did business differently, and still do, as a result of the pandemic. But we have really structured our business in a way that we are pretty flexible. The way we do things is a little bit different than maybe how we grew up with it, Calicote said. This article is entitled P&Z OK's Designations for 2 New Restaurants by Mella McEwen. two new restaurants are set to join Midland's roster of dining establishments after action by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Commissioners unanimously approved a request by Jorge Ramos for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant for Colici's Restaurant at 1501 North Big Spring Street. The location, which has hosted a number of restaurants previously, is not yet open. Once open, it will have 5,155.14 square feet with an alcohol serviceable area of 2,537.74 square feet. Hours will be Monday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to midnight, with identical hours for alcohol consumption. Commissioners likewise unanimously approved a request by Lefeng Liang for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant in what will become K-Pot Korean Barbecue and Hot Pot at 3116 North Loop 250 West near Ashley's Home Store and Maurice's and Cole's. The restaurant will have 4,850 square feet with an alcohol serviceable area of 2,000 square feet. Proposed hours are from 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and from 11 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, with similar hours for alcohol service. Commissioners overrode a staff recommendation to deny a request by Elisa Matneson for a specific use designation without term for a kennel located at 2401 West Indiana Avenue, where she operates a dog grooming business. She wants to expand to include pet boarding, using the property's multiple rooms for grooming, bathing, drying, and boarding. Staff had recommended denial of the request because the business is adjacent to residences behind the alley and were concerned about the barking noise of up to 49 small dogs at one time, as well as handling of pet waste. Matteson told commissioners she had signatures from neighbors saying they did not oppose the kennel. Commissioners approved her request provided she met the conditions recommended by staff. Use and development of the property as a kennel confirmed to the site plan, and she will comply with all provisions of city code, including those that apply to the operation of a kennel or keeping, harboring, or maintaining an animal. LCA Inc. received approval for a specific use designation without term for a car dealership at 3818 West Wall Street, the former site of a mobile food vendor park. The site plan shows the front of the property will be for customer parking and car display, with parking for additional cars for sale at the rear. The existing 4,200-square-foot building on the property will be used for office space. Hours will be from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. A request by Roland Real Estate for a zone change from MF22, Multiple Family Dwelling District, to TH, Townhouse Attached Dwelling District, on two lots at 411 and 413 Humble Avenue, was unanimously approved. The zone change allows for future development of townhouses. Applicant Justin Rowland intends to parcel the property, which is in the process of platting, from two lots into five lots, and changed the frontage to Marionfield Street. Staff said the townhouse development will serve as a transition from single-family dwellings to the south into multifamily dwellings to the north, east, and west, as well as create a buffer from a collector street such as Scarborough Drive. This article is entitled, Judge Sets Bond at $1 Million for Midland Man Charged with Manslaughter, by Mercedes Cordero. A 21-year-old man charged with manslaughter is being held on a $1 million bond. Arturo Barraza was arrested Friday after confessing to police he was responsible for the death of 19-year-old Estrella V. Moreno. Midland Police Department detectives were dispatched to Midland Memorial Hospital in reference to a gunshot victim. Detectives were notified that the suspect, identified as Barraza, had transported the victim and was detained at the hospital. According to the arrest affidavit, MMH medical staff was assisting Moreno outside of the hospital when Barraza stated to MMH police, "I did it." After being detained, Barraza told MMH police the gun was under the seat of his car. MMH police were notified that Moreno had died while searching Barraza's vehicle. A Smith & Wesson 9mm pistol was found under the driver's seat, according to the arrest affidavit. After being transported to the Midland Police Department, Barraza stated during the interview that he was driving on West Loop 250 north of the intersection of West Loop 250 North and west of Interstate 20, with Moreno as his passenger, according to the arrest affidavit. Barraza stated the gun discharged while he was driving as he was waving the gun back and forth. Barraza drove Moreno to the hospital after, according to the arrest affidavit. Barraza was charged with manslaughter, a second-degree felony charge. This article is entitled, 26-year-old Midlander Dies in Rollover, Says DPS, by the Midland Reporter Telegram. A 26-year-old died Friday morning after being involved in a rollover after exiting an Interstate 20 service road, according to the Department of Public Safety. The Midland man, Chrisian Nicaea Butler, was not wearing a seatbelt when his 2000 Ford F-150 was traveling eastbound on the I-20 North Service Road near mile marker 146. Butler failed to drive in a single lane and exited the roadway to the south, causing the F-150 to roll over. The driver of the vehicle succumbed to his injuries on the scene, according to DPS. The accident took place around 5:54 a.m. This article is entitled, ECISD Charge Man with Break-In at Burnett, by Mercedes Cordero. Ector County ISD reported Monday that a man was arrested after breaking into Burnett Elementary School. The man ran to the north entrance of Burnett Elementary School at about 6:20 a.m., attempting to get inside the school. When he was unable to get in, he kicked out a portion of the glass in the door and ran into the school's cafeteria, according to a press release from the district. The Odessa Police Department and ECISD police responded after a neighbor and school custodian called 911. The man, who claimed he was being chased, was arrested before students began to arrive for school, according to the press release. He was charged by ECISD police with public intoxication, a Class C misdemeanor, criminal trespass, a Class B misdemeanor, and criminal mischief, a Class B misdemeanor. School district leaders want to thank the neighbor and custodian who reported this incident to the police and thank the officers who responded so quickly, taking the man into custody and securing the school. The district stated in a press release. This is the obituary column. Tuesday, September 20th. Rosie Flores. Rosario Garcia Flores of Midland, age 67, passed peacefully to see her Lord and Savior on September 13th in her hometown at Midland Memorial Hospital. She was preceded in death by her father, Jesse Moreno. Rosie Flores leaves behind a loving family in her husband, Pete Flores, and sons, Chris and David Flores. She also left behind her family of brothers and sisters, Mark, Bobby, Nick, and Joe, Irene, and Cecilia, as well as her loving grandkids. Rosie's viewing will be held at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel in Midland on Monday, September 19th at 2 p.m., viewing will be a private affair amongst family and close friends. Rosie was born to Catalina and Jesse Moreno in Midland. She is survived by her mother, Catalina Moreno, husband Pete Flores of Midland, and three sons, Dr. Chris Flores, San Antonio, David Flores, Midland, and Michael Flores, San Antonio. Sandra Self Dragizic. Sandra Self Dragizic, age 72, passed away on Wednesday, August 31st in Plano. She was born on November 3, 1949, to Charlotte and Gerald Self in Lubbock. Sandra was preceded in death by her parents, Charlotte and Gerald Self, and her uncle, Roy Kinsey. She is survived by her husband, John Arthur Dragizic of Midland, son Kirk French of Fort Worth, his wife Charlotte and their son Philip, son Brandon Dragizic of Allen, Texas, his wife Cindy and their son Spencer, sister Nancy Self Dacey of Austin, brother Danny Self of Marathon, and numerous nieces and nephews. There will be a private family interment at Rest Haven Cemetery, followed by a celebration of life held on Friday, September 23rd at the Petroleum Club, beginning at noon. The family asks that in lieu of flowers, donations be given to the Rape Crisis Center of Midland, or a personal charity of each family's choosing. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death Notices. Joe H. Pais, Jr. Joe H. Pais, Jr., 65, of Midland, passed away September 18th. Rosary service will be on Tuesday, September 20th, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home at 7 p.m. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, September 21st, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Margarita Garces. Margarita Garces of Midland died on September 15th at Ashton Medical Lodge. A funeral service will be held at American Heritage Funeral Home, followed by burial at Serenity Memorial Gardens on September 21st at 10 a.m. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, September 20th. Council will discuss travel policy during session. The City Council is scheduled to discuss replacing two Odessa fire rescue fire engines and a ladder truck for a total cost of roughly $3.2 million at Tuesday's work session. Also on the agenda is a potential change in the city's travel policy. According to city documents, OFR is currently on a 7-year replacement plan and aren't expecting to replace the vehicles until 2025. But because it's taking so long to get new vehicles and because costs are rising, the OFR officials want to order them now. The last time OFR bought vehicles, it took 12 months for them to arrive. This time it could take 30 months or longer, according to city staff. OFR still needs to order 7 additional vehicles. OFR also will be asking the City Council to sign off on the purchase of 2 sets of uniforms per employee for a total cost of just under $92,000. A portion of the cost will be covered by ConocoPhillips donations. In other business, the city is expected to discuss approving the FY22-23 wholesale water rate for the Ector County Utility District. The new proposed rate is a monthly fixed charge of $139,724 plus a volumetric charge of $1.2829 per 1,000 gallons, or a comparative rate of $3.83 per 1,000 gallons. The new rate would go into effect October 1st. The council will also discuss the possibility of amending the city's travel authorization and reimbursement policy. Currently, city rules say the finance committee shall approve in advance all business-related travel by officials, but no such finance committee still exists. As a result, the city will consider changing the rule so that the mayor or mayor pro tem can authorize any such travel. If approved, the mayor or mayor pro tem will also be responsible for signing off on expense reports. In addition, the council will be asked to consider raising the amount that can be spent on meals from $50 a day to $70 per day. Councilman Steve Thompson brought up the need to amend the travel policy at the council workshop meeting September 6. He also said he thought it would be appropriate for all city council members and the mayor to notify each other when they are traveling for work purposes. When Mayor Javier Hoven asked Thompson what could be gained from that, he replied, "So I don't have to find out secondhand about Mexico, and when I get challenged on it, I know what I'm talking about." Hoven wanted to know who was challenging Thompson about the trip, and Thompson told him his constituents. "I think it's only fair. I know where the mayor is going, or where Dietra's going, or Councilman Swanner," Thompson said, referring to Councilmember Dietra White. The mayor said he was asked about the Mexico trip by the Odessa American, and once the Odessa American wrote about his trip, the value of the property went up 4 times. He said he'd been planning on speaking with the council about his trip, but after certain investors had traveled to Odessa. Hoven was apparently referring to the Pan American Ballroom, 2214 East Murphy, which is hosting Reliable Fight Night Pro Boxing in mid-October. However, the August 20th Odessa American story about Hoven's trip did not mention the ballroom at all. The news about the Reliable Fight Night was announced at a press conference August 25th, and it was at that event that Hoven himself announced the ballroom may be the site for 2 other events per month, including professional boxing, amateur boxing, MMA, or wrestling. Hoven said the ultimate goal of the partnership between the Boxing Showcase and Guerrilla Heavy Hitters is to bring Silver Gloves, an annual competition for amateur boxing, to the city. "The current policy is a good one that was well thought out in 1996, Hoven said. He cautioned his fellow council members that when they notify each other about business trips, it becomes public information. When the city is involved in negotiations, it's not always wise for certain information to get out," Hoven said. Thompson replied that the council is also privy to sensitive information citizens aren't, and he believes there should be a way the council can safely share information amongst each other. "This is basically about me going to Mexico, and I knew going there it was going to be a huge issue," Hoven said. "So you knew I was going to get hammered over it," Thompson said. "No, I knew you were going to hammer me over it," Hoven retorted. "It wasn't me so much as my constituents," Thompson said. Council member Mark Mata pointed out he went on a recent trip to Abilene for training and didn't hear anything from Thompson about it. Thompson replied that the public didn't know about it, so it wasn't as much of an issue. "It would have been nice if he had told me about the trip, especially since Thompson said he made sure to tell everyone he went to Washington, D.C. recently. I'm just saying, I just don't like running around having secrets. That's all I'm saying," Thompson said. "There are no secrets," Hoven said. "You made it an issue, and that's fine. You have every right to question it. But the thing is, you're making a policy change simply because I traveled to Mexico. I always traveled to New Orleans. But the thing is, these are legitimate business trips." He was upfront, and all you had to do was give me a call, Hoven told Thompson. White said she also didn't know about the trips until she read it in the paper, and she too was questioned about it. Hoven again reiterated he wanted to wait a while before sharing the details of his trip, and after the Odessa American article, my fear of what was going to happen happened. Still, Hovind told the council, the huge group in Mexico wants to continue investing in Odessa, and it will benefit the city and Ector County, too. Hovind said he had to respect the investors he met with and what they were trying to do. But for right now, a purchase of more property has been compromised because of a story. We weren't able to make the presentation. We were forced to speak to the media before we could speak to the council. Things happened. Things were leaked. Now they're cooking. AHS students get a chance to whip up a little something. Andrews High School has a revitalized culinary program complete with some of the latest equipment for students to learn the ins and outs of food preparation. Bailey Pugh and Jennifer Leatherwood teach the elective courses. Together, they have about 265 students. There's four different types of classes that feed into this program. It starts at the principles of hospitality management, introduction to culinary, culinary arts, and then advanced culinary, Pugh said. She added that there are certain grades and prerequisites that students have to complete. To be able to take intro to culinary, they have to take a hospitality management class. After that, they're able to work up through intro to culinary, culinary, and then advanced, Pugh said. Initially, students have to get through safety and sanitation. The course is stair-step, so you can't take one without the other. Isabella Montoya, 16, and Jose Castillo, 17, are enjoying themselves so far. Montoya is in introduction to culinary, and Castillo is in advanced culinary. I was always in cooking and baking, and I do it as a hobby, so I just wanted to try the new culinary program, especially since they updated the kitchen so we had more opportunities, Montoya said. She enjoys making pumpkin spice rolls. Castillo said he likes cooking and is considering becoming a chef, so he thought this would be a good way to get there. He likes making steaks. It's a great program, and the kitchen. The school did a really good job on construction. It's really nice. I feel like we're going to be able to do a lot of stuff in there, Castillo said. Pugh said she thinks interest in cooking is on the rise, in part because of social media. I think it is helping. I think kids are becoming more interested in baking and cooking and decorating. I think they're just excited about being able to do that. Plus, being in this kitchen, Pugh said. The kitchen is filled with all kinds of the latest equipment. Stoves, heatless steamer boxes, deep fryers, convection ovens, hot boxes, two industrial meat slicers and industrial mixers, plus a bunch of small food processors. Leatherwood taught 6th grade math for 10 years, and she was ready for a change when she switched to culinary. It has been an adjustment, but it's a lot of fun, Leatherwood said. At the end of August, Pugh was waiting for pots and pans, sheet pans, different cooking utensils, tools for cake decorating, and cutting boards. That is my plan, is to help them, one, to be able to prepare food for themselves, but then to be able to, if they choose to go into the food industry, that they are able to be confident in the work that they're producing, as well as enjoying it, Pugh said. Andrews High School principal John Caronzo said the culinary program was added to enhance the overall career and technical education programs. Andrews' program started with a couple of introductory classes about 4 or 5 years ago, and now it's grown to include 2 full-time teachers. The equipment is some of the most up-to-date you'll find in any district. When our students leave here and somebody wants to pursue a career in culinary arts, we're giving them access to an exceptional facility. I think that will pay huge dividends in the future, Caronzo said. A Levelin native, Pugh went to South Plains College for 2 years and finished at Texas Tech University, where she earned a bachelor's degree in family and consumer science education. My family is full of educators, so it's in my blood. I have a lot of teaching and just being around the students, they are really amazing, Pugh said. Growing up, Levelland competed against Andrews, and she knew she wanted to be part of something with that high rigor. She added that the students in Andrews are amazing. It is very similar to what I have grown up with. Andrews is its own little community, and everybody is very supportive. Everybody is very loving, and they care about the school. They care about the kids. Overall, it's been an amazing place. I'm super blessed to be here, Pugh said. Trial begins in sexual assault of a child case. They met on social media. The 18-year-old testified. He contacted her. She added him to her friends list. They flirted on the phone. They met. They kissed and they had sex. The second time they met. The sex happened the day before she turned 16, she said. He told her he was 18. He was actually 24. Monday was the first day of the sexual assault of a child trial of Joel John Valdez in the 161st Ector County District Court. Valdez, who has been a registered sex offender since 2009, is also awaiting trial for failure to comply with registration requirements. The girl he is accused of sexually assaulting on multiple occasions between October 2019 and February 2020 was among the first witnesses to take the stand. The Odessa American does not publish the names of alleged sexual assault victims. The first witness was Brianna Valdez, Joel John Valdez's wife at the time. The alleged victim told jurors she was a freshman in high school in August 2019 and used Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter to communicate with her friends. After becoming friends with Valdez on Snapchat, they spoke often and even discussed her virginity, she said. The first few times he asked to meet her in person, she said no, but eventually relented. When he came over the first time, Valdez said his mom dropped him off, she testified. They hung outside by her shed. They kissed and he caressed her buttocks, she said. The next time he came over, she sneaked him into her house because her mother didn't allow boys over, she testified. They had sex in her bedroom, and over the next several weeks, whenever her mother went to bed, she would sneak him in almost daily, and they had unprotected sex. It got to the point where Valdez would hide in her bedroom all day while she was at school, and her mother was at work, she said. He called her sexy, beautiful, and gorgeous, she said. Her mother caught him hiding in the closet one day, but they were allowed to continue to date because he had told her mother and the rest of her family he was 18, she testified. She continued to sneak him into her bedroom, and they began sharing nude photos of each other, she testified. By the time Thanksgiving rolled around, she said she'd began to feel manipulated. He got mad at her when she told him she didn't want to have sex, but she always gave in because she loved him, she said. There were pregnancy scares, but again, she continued to have unprotected sex because she was in love, she testified. She broke up with him for a short time, but they got back together because he threatened to commit suicide, she said. When she found out through friends that Valdez was 24, she confronted him. She said he got mad at her, but acknowledged it. They continued seeing each other because she told him herself his age didn't matter, she testified. Then she found out he was cheating on her, and she finally ended it. A short time later, the police showed up at her door, having learned of their relationship, she said. She told forensic interviewers everything, she said. She also gave detectives access to her social media accounts and videos she took of Valdez playing with her cat in her bedroom and lying in her bed. Assistant Ector County District Attorney Courtney Williams was allowed to show jurors screenshots of a few Instagram posts depicting pictures of Valdez and the girl and various comments. Defense attorney Philip Wildman unsuccessfully fought to keep the exhibits out of the trial, arguing Williams had failed to prove the account belonged to his client or that it was his client who actually made the posts. OMG, you're so gorgeous, read one comment allegedly posted by Valdez. Below a picture of her on what was purported to be his Instagram account, Valdez allegedly wrote, my love, and followed it up with heart emojis. Under cross-examination from Wildman, the girl said the only distinctive feature she could recall about Valdez's genitalia is that he is uncircumcised. Valdez's former wife testified that in addition to being uncircumcised, Valdez also has a distinctive mole. During opening statements, Assistant District Attorney Ricky Ernest told jurors it was actually Brianna Valdez who turned Valdez in upon learning he was having sex with an underage high school student. Ernest also told jurors she expected Brianna Valdez to be an uncooperative witness. When it came time to call Brianna Valdez to the stand, she took so long to enter the courtroom, Judge Tryon Lewis called for a short recess. When Williams asked her key questions, such as if she ever became concerned her estranged husband was dating a high school student or if Valdez had ever told her he often had to sneak inside his girlfriend's house and hide in the closet, Brianna Valdez had to be given her police statement to refresh her memory. Brianna Valdez testified she met Valdez in 2013 on the internet and married him in 2018. They separated in 2019 and he began dating someone else, but she continued to give him rides, including to what turned out to be the girl's house in West Odessa. She initially testified she had no idea if the Instagram account JohnOcho820 was her former husband's account, but then acknowledged she told the police back in 2020 it was. Wildman reserved his opening statements for a later time. Quick hits. WTGS Fall Symposium. The 2022 West Texas Geological Society Fall Symposium is scheduled today through Thursday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. The symposium starts at 8 a.m. each day, titled Return of the Vintage Plays. The keynote speaker will be Alex Epstein. There are in-person and virtual viewing options. The costs are $475 for WTGS members in-person and virtual, $525 for non-members in-person and virtual, $300 for WTGS members virtual viewing only, $350 for non-members virtual viewing only. A networking luncheon is $40 and an ethics luncheon is $40. Sponsorship opportunities are available. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/DNSAZ5T4. Exhibitors may register at tinyurl.com/4HZPPXDR. Sponsor application is available at tinyurl.com/5N954888Y. Free blood pressure and glucose screenings. The Medical Center Hospital Family Health Clinic West University, 6030 West University Boulevard, has scheduled a free blood pressure and glucose screening from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. each Tuesday through December 27th. Visit tinyurl.com/2YVKB55C. Financial Literacy Workshop, Crossroads Church of Odessa, 6901 East Highway 191, has scheduled a financial literacy workshop from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. today. Free child care is available. Pre-registration for child care is required. To pre-register, visit tinyurl.com/MRXF5CCU. Neighborhood Watch Meeting. The Odessa Police Department has scheduled a neighborhood watch meeting at 7 p.m. today in the OPD classroom, 205 North Grant Avenue. The Neighborhood Watch program is a simple neighbor helping neighbor program that has assisted in reducing crime within the community. This meeting, the Odessa Animal Control will give a presentation covering various topics. Visit tinyurl.com/5xv3d755. Murray's contract, tax rate on agenda. An executive session on the superintendent's appraisal and contract and the adoption of the tax rate are two of the items on the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees agenda today, September 20th. The meeting is scheduled for 6 p.m. in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. In 2021, the board extended Superintendent Scott Murray's contract by 1 year to the end of June 30th, 2026, and raised his salary from $300,900 to $309,927. The board will come out of executive session to take action on the contract. The board will hold a public hearing and consider adoption of the 2022-23 tax rate. The current tax rate is $1.17792 per $100 valuation, and the total rate will remain the same. The maintenance and operations rate will be compressed from $1.0517 per $100 valuation, $2.9810 per $100 valuation. The I&S tax rate is increased from $0.12622 to $0.19692 per $100 valuation. The total tax rate is effectively a 7.10% increase over the no new revenue tax rate due to the INS tax rate increase, supplemental agenda material said. A public hearing for an appraised value limitation on qualified property pursuant to Chapter 313 of the Texas Tax Code on Quail Run Carbon LLC and 1.5 P1 LLC for Project Legion builds 1 through 6 will also be held. The Comptroller's Office website said an appraised value limitation is an agreement in which a taxpayer agrees to build or install property and create jobs in exchange for a 10-year limitation on the taxable property value for school district maintenance and operations tax M&O purposes. The minimum limitation value varies by school district, the site said. The application of a limitation on the appraised value for M&O purposes is submitted directly to the school district and requires an application fee that is established by each school district, the site detailed. Also on the agenda is recognition of the State Board of Education Hero for Children Award winner and introduction of College Board National Recognition Program awardees. Texas oil, natural gas jobs growth continued in August. Data released by the Texas Workforce Commission indicates that upstream oil and natural gas employment grew in August by 2,600 jobs from July. July's gains were revised down to a still solid 3,100 jobs added. Upstream employment is growing steadily along the world's demand for affordable, reliable energy. The Texas oil and natural gas industry continues to play its leadership role in enhancing national and energy security in our nation and for our trade allies around the world. Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association, said in a news release. Since the low point in employment September of 2020, industry has added 44,700 Texas upstream jobs, averaging growth of 1,943 jobs per month. At 201,700 upstream jobs, August 2022 jobs were up by 33,400 or 19.8% from August 2021. August employment was the first time to break the 200,000 mark since March of 2020 in light of the new revision in the July 2022 job numbers. Local news roundup. Man arrested after trying to enter Burnett Elementary. Around 6:20 a.m. Monday, a man ran to the north entrance of Burnett Elementary School, and when he was unable to get in, he kicked out a portion of the glass in the door and ran into the school's cafeteria. A neighbor witnessed the incident and called 911. The school custodian also called the police. Odessa Police Department and ECISD police responded and arrested the man who claimed he was being chased, a news release said. The man was identified as 33-year-old Michael Duran. ECISD police charged the man with public intoxication, a Class C misdemeanor, criminal trespass, a Class B misdemeanor, and criminal mischief, a Class B misdemeanor. Police do not believe the man was being chased, and the man was removed before students began arriving for school, the release said. School district leaders thanked the neighbor and custodian who reported this incident to the police, and the officers who responded so quickly, taking the man into custody and securing the school. Odessan accused of stealing $360,000 of steel. An Odessa man was arrested Sunday after a witness reported seeing him stealing $360,000 worth of carbon steel joints in July. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office affidavit, the owner of Oil Dog Pipe Rentals told deputies back in July he was going through his shipping and receiving invoices when he noticed carbon steel joints were missing. The man said he was told by deputies a witness saw forklift operator Juan Diaz, 28, placing the pipes onto a semi-truck and leaving the premises. According to the affidavit, the owner of Oil Dog Pipe Rentals never gave Diaz consent to take the pipes, and he wanted to pursue theft charges against him. Diaz was arrested and booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of theft of property over $300,000, a Class 1 felony punishable by a prison sentence of 5 years to life. As of Monday morning, no bail has yet been set. OPD makes Saturday drug arrest. An Odessa Police Department officer made a drug arrest early Saturday morning after pulling over a 27-year-old Odessa man for going through a red light. According to an OPD report, the officer saw a GMC Terrain run the right light at North Grandview Avenue and East 21st Street around 2:30 a.m. and pulled the driver, Dominique Adrian Gutierrez, over. Gutierrez smelled like marijuana and alcohol, and during a subsequent search of his pants, the officer found a bottle of whiskey, 8 Xanax pills, and 2 bags in his pants with a powdery white substance inside. He also found multiple folded dollar bills and the same substance inside in his pockets and on the floor of the car, the report stated. Gutierrez, who was slurring his words, told the officer the substance was coke, the report stated. Another officer found a weight scale under Gutierrez's seat, 2 cell phones, and another bag of cocaine, according to the report. Gutierrez, who could barely stand on his own, told the officers he was overdosing and dying, and they then saw he had cocaine on his chin close to his mouth, the report stated. Gutierrez refused to open his mouth. Gutierrez did take an unreasonable time to pull over, giving him plenty of time to dispose of narcotics, the report stated. Gutierrez was also in medical distress minutes after being stopped, which is common when someone ingests a large amount of narcotics during a traffic stop. Gutierrez was arrested on suspicion of two counts of manufacture, delivery of a controlled substance, tampering with physical evidence, and driving while intoxicated with an open container. One of the controlled substance counts, due to the amount, is a Class 1 felony, punishable by 5 years to life in prison. Gutierrez remains in the Ector County Jail as of Monday on surety bonds totaling $81,500.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.